Right. Here's the bottom line. If your life is not a life with peace in it right now, you might ask yourself the question, have I found freedom from myself in Christ? And if you haven't, that's where you need to start. And let's go to the last question. How do we deal with this self? And I'm going to point you to the book. You don't have it with you, so I'm just going to read a piece. How do we deal with this self? This is an area that I stumbled on for a very, very long time. And this was where I actually found the answer. Here it is. Let's see. Human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest. But he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. So learning of Jesus, taking time with Jesus every day, is one of the pieces to discovering freedom from the tyranny of self. This is page 25 in the colorful one. I'm not sure where it is. It's under the comments on Blessed Are the Meek. So that's Blessed Are the Meek, and it is in Thoughts and Blessings. And here's the next sentence. This was an eye-opener for me. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Here is the most important piece from this. You can't get rid of yourself. You can't get rid of yourself, but the Holy Spirit can put yourself to death. So it's absolutely critical that we realize that, because I spent a lot of my life trying to get over self instead of trying to come to Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to execute self. And so our objective as Christians, our place as believers, is to pursue closeness with Christ and allow him to do that work in our hearts of putting self, allow the Holy Spirit to put ourselves to death. The divine executioner, as if may that may be the words of Luther. There was some author that talked about the divine executioner. That's the one we need in our life. So that's why this time with God is so critical. So you and I can connect with the only one who can take down the tyrant that rises to the throne in all of our lives. So I would encourage you to read. There's good meditations this coming week on the next beatitude, which is blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And there's enough to cover 1 week of time in that single section every morning, and that is in your In Focus. Well, let's do a quick tour, overview, and then I have a couple stories and we'll wrap it up. That's day one. That's Wichita Airport. We got up very early in the morning, and my wife thought she would do me in by taking a picture, so that's credit to my wife for catching her sleeping husband. This is day two. We were in Berlin. We got to Berlin. We left Wichita at 10-something on Wednesday morning, and we got to Berlin like 8:30 Thursday morning. And you're supposed to sleep on the overnight flight. And then we toured. This is the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin. Again, this is a quick 12-slide overview of our trip. We're going to do a travel log where we'll talk about it more in depth February 23rd. And so come to Vespers, and we'll have a devotional. Then we'll do a travel log that'll take you through. We'll go from everything to talk about the sights we saw to some of the food we ate. So it's not going to be a real spiritual journey at that point, but you'll get to see all the pieces. And then I'll talk on some Sabbath mornings. I want to pull out some useful pieces from these different experiences and expound on them as lessons for us today. Day number three, this is part of the Berlin Wall, and that's separating East and West, well, formerly East and West Germany, East and West Berlin, I should say. This is the Castle Church. Does anybody know what the Castle Church is famous for? It's in Germany. Yes, that is the church. Not the same door, but the door was under construction, unfortunately, but this is the door where Luther nailed the 95. Am I not up? I apologize, but I don't know what's up with our system. So this is the door is under construction there, so we couldn't actually touch the door, but it was the door It was in the door frame. It's a new door, but it was in the door frame of where Luther nailed the 95 Theses. There were two churches in Wittenberg. He nailed it on this church because this was the church where all the educated, the doctors would go through, and that would get their attention. Well, we'll talk more about that in a future time. This is day number 5. This was where Luther preached his last 4 messages before crossing the street and spending his last days in a home across the street. This is the castle of the Wartburg, castle in Germany, where Luther was protectively exiled, or he was taken into protective custody and translated the Bible into German. In fact, the German language today is based on the German language Luther used in his Bible that he translated there in this castle. This is day number 7. This is Neuschwanstein Castle, built in the 1800s and never completed by anyone. It is the highest grossing industry in all of Bavaria. Makes more than Bavarian Motor Works or BMW is this castle because of its tourist power. This is the castle on which Disney based his famous, that world famous castle is based on Neuschwanstein. This is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. This is Pisa, Italy, and there's a church there on the left, the church there in Pisa, and then the tower, the bell tower in Pisa. And there's also a baptistry there in Pisa. We didn't go in the baptistry, but there's a baptistry there in Pisa as well. This is, anybody know what this is? Day number 9? St. Peter's Basilica. Yes, this is St. Peter's Basilica. We were there, must have been Friday or so. That was Thursday. This is Friday, day number 10. This is the Colosseum, part of the Roman Forum. And then this is day number 11. This is one of the few baptistries in Rome. It was used twice a year or so, and it's actually a very large baptistry. That entire area where the chairs are is it would have been filled with water, and so you could have baptized a group of people. It's not a small baptistry like we traditionally have in Adventist churches. It was an event where you would have to plan ahead for the baptism because it was only available so many times a year. And finally, our last night, this is the last slide from our trip, and this is the day 11 as well. This was our last night in Rome, and then the next morning we flew out, and the longest day of my life was traveling from Europe to America. It began at 5:30 in the morning in Rome, and it ended at 10:30 here, and that was about, what is it, 31 hour? It was like a 31-hour day. So if you start and stay on, yeah, it was about a 31-hour day coming here. So if you travel the right direction, you can actually have a longer day. It was sort of like Joshua's day, the day that didn't end for a while. So that's our trip. Well, I want to end with just a very simple thought and 2 stories. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. As I was thinking about Luther, and then as I think back on our trip, this text seems appropriate. Therefore, we also, Hebrews 12, verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul invited Christians back then. They were just like Christians today. They had the same tendencies that we have to compromise faith for very little reason. You ever find that sometimes you have a conviction and just for some reason it doesn't seem, when it's put on the line, to really hold up very well? Well, Paul was dealing with Christians who had the same challenges, being faithful under the circumstances of life. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, Paul presents this great host, he calls it, of witnesses, or cloud of witnesses. All these men and women of faith who stood firm. And then Paul challenges his reader at the end of that list to be faithful. And as I was there thinking about Luther and about my own life, I considered in a very small way what Luther's dedication to the cause he stood for. Luther did not sacrifice his life for the Reformation. He didn't sacrifice his life for the truth he believed in, but he would have. If he had been pressed, Luther would have sacrificed his life. And then I thought of my own life, and I asked myself the question, could God have used me to be Luther? Do I have the kind of commitment to Christ and dedication to his truth that God could have called me in a dark time to make a stand for truth? Could God have called you to stand for truth? And so I want to challenge you today as you think about this passage, to think about the men and women of the past who were faithful to the very end. And then look at your own life and ask yourself the question, do I sacrifice my faith, the faith that men and women gave their lives to preserve, do I sacrifice that faith in my day-to-day life? Am I willing to pay the price to be faithful? I think it's a very valuable question. Because if we're not willing to pay the price today, very little price, will we be ready to pay a bigger price if that's called of us down the road? Two stories I want to share with you along those lines. The Thundering Legion, it was known as in 320 AD. They were in the Eastern Roman Empire, and they were 40 soldiers. And the Roman governor stood before these 40 soldiers, and he commanded them to make an offering to the Roman god, or gods as it might have been. And one of the soldiers stood forward, and he said this. His name was Candidus. Nothing is dear or of greater honor to us than Christ our God. You see, this entire group of 40 soldiers were all firm believers in Jesus Christ. And challenged that day to offer an offering to the pagan god, they said, no, we want to follow Jesus and nothing's going to dissuade us. And so Candidus continued, you offer us money that remains behind and glory that fades away. You seek to make us friends of the emperor, but alienate us from the true king. We desire one gift, the crown of righteousness. We are anxious for one glory, the glory of the heavenly kingdom. We love honors, those of heaven. You threaten fearful torments and call our godliness a crime, but you will not find us faint-hearted or attached to this life or easily stricken with terror. For the love of God, we're prepared to endure any kind of torture. What faithfulness! These soldiers, even though they were hardened by battle and conflict, they were faithful to the Lord. And in the face of a challenge, they remained faithful. The governor was so enraged that he said, these men cannot die an easy death. They must die a slow death. And so he put them out, undressed them, and sent them into the middle of a frozen lake. These 40 men huddled together in the middle of this lake, guarded by soldiers they couldn't escape. And then to add insult to injury, the governor had warm baths set around the lake and made the simple offer, if you're willing to renounce your faith and offer to the pagan gods, you can have a warm bath. Well, they were faithful there on the ice. Finally, one man broke down and he couldn't hold up any longer, and he went running off the ice and got in the hot bath. One of the soldiers standing on the edge of the lake who'd been guarding the men and watching the situation, he took off his armor, took off his soldier's uniform, undressed and ran naked onto the ice to join the 40. What a testimony of faith. Paul says, we have this great cloud of witnesses, so don't get weighed down with your own challenges. Don't get weighed down with sin and busyness and temptation. And don't compromise your faith because they've stood faithful before. How can you live in the shadow of their faithfulness, a life of unfaithfulness? Then finally, John, the beloved. All the other apostles had been killed. The herald proclaimed as he came out into the view of the stadium, "This is John, the apostle of Jesus Christ." The emperor was eager for the apostles' blood. And he shouted, "So you are John, the beloved apostle. Are you ready to die? Perhaps you have heard the saying among the Christians that this is the last apostle," the gentleman in front of the emperor said, and then asked the question, "How can we kill John? They say he can't die, but we're going to make sure he dies today." That was the emperor's goal. But he couldn't die by beheading because that was reserved for the Romans. That was too kind for the Christians. And the suggestion was made that he be killed in a pot of boiling oil. And so they took John to the side and made sure he was secured while they got the oil and started the fire. And they heated the oil up, and when it was boiling, the prison guard went in and said, "Get up, Christian, it's your time to die." And so John the Revelator, John the Beloved, he got up. They put him in the oil, and the crowd went wild because they were going to watch the last of the 12 apostles die. But as they watched, the crowd went from wild anticipation to silence because John was not dying. John was there praying in that oil, and to the shock of the crowd, John could not be killed. As you might know, John was taken out of the oil. The emperor was so fed up with trying to kill John that he exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. It said that he was there for 2 years, and then when that emperor died, he was released and sent back to Ephesus. And he died in Ephesus at 101 years of age. God preserves his own. Sometimes he preserves them through the fire. Sometimes he preserves them from the fire. I would just call your minds back to those words of Paul. "We have a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside the weight that so easily ensnares us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who," I should look it up, "but for the joy of that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set at the right hand of God." We have a great cloud of witnesses. History's littered with them, from the great reformers to the quiet maids and servants who would not sacrifice their faith. And God wants this day to be a day that is also littered with faithful witnesses. It may not be unto death, but may it be till death. May we live lives that bring honor to the Savior who gave everything for us, and that demonstrate that we share the same faith as the faith of Luther, the faith of the apostles, the faith of believers who've sacrificed to follow Jesus in every age of history. May we be found worthy to stand among them. Father, thank you for the challenging story of that thundering legion, and of the faith of John, and of Luther, of so many others who are willing to take a stand for truth. It challenges me, it challenges us, as we look at our own lives and we consider how easily we allow the things of this world, the persuasion of friends, whatever it might be, to come in between you and us. Please, Lord Jesus, help us to live today worthy of the name Christian, worthy of being part of this great cloud of men and women who have lived for you. In Jesus' name, amen.